Israeli soldiers have killed two Hamas militants in a West Bank raid. More from correspondent Mark Levy.
Israeli soldiers leveled heavy fire on a house in the West Bank city of Hebron, killing two top Hamas militants inside. Two were behind a shooting attack that killed four Israelis not far away, just as President Obama was getting Israeli-Palestinian peace talks underway last month. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu praised his security forces for doing justice to the terrorists, as he put it. The talks are hanging in the balance over Israeli settlement construction. Palestinians say they'll walk out if the building continues. Mark Levy, Tel Aviv.
Mexican President Felipe Calderon is pointing out what he calls hypocrisy in U.S. drug policy. He says a California ballot measure to legalize marijuana represents hypocrisy for encouraging consumption while at the same time demanding that Mexico and other countries crack down on drug trafficking. For the latest news and analysis, log on to IRNUSANews.com.
The Beth Messiah Congregation invites you to come and experience a Messianic Roots biblically based congregational fellowship as we observe God's Shabbat in Messiah Yeshua. Praise and worship services begin at 10:30 a.m., followed by an Oneg Shabbat meal, Midrash, and fellowship. Beth Messiah Congregation is located at 8333 Acoma Way in North Denver. You can find out more information by calling 1-800-205-6245. Everyone's welcome, so join us this Shabbat. And Shabbat Shalom, good Sabbath. We, the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, do ordain and establish this Constitution for the United States of America. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of the light. That was the true light which gives light to every man coming into the world. The Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 6 through 9.
If cholesterol, high blood pressure, angina, atherosclerotic plaque, or stroke are a concern for you or your loved one, or you want to strengthen your heart, increase stamina, and promote overall cardiovascular health, then join the Heart Technology team. Heart Technology, Linus Pauling's recommended vitamin C therapies, is the answer to your concern. Don't wait until it's too late. For more information and to order, call Dennett Daniels at 1-800-205-6245. Heart Technology, it's natural, it's effective, it's inexpensive, and it's guaranteed. 1-800-205-6245.
Well, good morning. Dr. Stan here at the American Freedom Network, and our guest is Joel Skousen from World Affairs Brief. And Joel's with us every Friday morning as we look behind the news for the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Good morning, Joel. What are we going to be talking about this morning?
Well, start with a major article keying off of by Henry Lamb, Global Governance at a Critical Juncture. This is according to the establishment itself. Pundits and politicians giggle and point fingers at people who dare refer to global governance, people like Hannity and O'Reilly. They display their ignorance or their duplicity. I think it's the latter. By poo-pooing the idea that there's a conspiracy out there to put a global government in power. But the U.S. National Intelligence Council and the European Union's Institute for Security Studies just released a report called Global Governance 2025 at a Critical Juncture. So they've actually put on this 82-page document a date on it. They want to have global governance by 2025. And it's kind of a report card of how far they're getting along. They quite openly discuss the current status of global governance and the likelihood of global governance maturing into a full-fledged global government. Those who scoff at the reality of global governance, of course, are to be pitied for their ignorance and despised for their duplicity. As Gustav Speth, the former director of the World Resources Institute and head of UN Development Programs, said in 1997, global governance is here to stay. driven by economic and environmental globalization, global governance will inevitably expand. It was his belief, confirmed in 2009 by Herman Van Rompuy, president of the European Union Council, who said global governance is the global management of our planet. So, I mean, this is right out in the open, Dr. Stan.
Oh, there's no question. They use this term global governance simply to confuse us, as if there's some difference between governance and government. And they know exactly what they're doing. They just don't want the public to realize that this is a subversive movement that wants to destroy the sovereignty of our nation, enslave our people, and they're well along the road towards accomplishing that.
Well, the report continues. The new U.S.-EU report defines global governance to be, quote, the collective management of common problems at the international level. You know, that sounds innocuous enough, but they claim that it's at a critical juncture. The United Nations Development Program, in its 1999 report, defines global governance as the framework of rules, institutions, and practices that set limits on the behavior of individuals, organizations, and companies. And I might add nations. Both the UN and the new US-EU report are quick to say that global governance is not global government. Well, not yet at least, but that's certainly where they're headed. The new report describes global government as the exercise of sovereignty through a hierarchical system of authority, while global governance is a voluntary arrangement of shared sovereignty among nations. I mean, this is a pretty slick language, you know, shared sovereignty, as if there was any such thing. I mean, how can you have shared sovereignty? One or the other is sovereign. I mean, ultimately, when it comes down to if there's a difference or agreement, something has to be more sovereign than another. If it's completely shared, then there is no, true sovereignty.
And what people don't understand is the major driving force behind this is America, at least the invisible government of the United States, that is using the financial and military power of our country to bring about this world government and destroy the sovereignty of our nation and really, of course, lower the living standards here in America and bring in a police state, an authoritarian society, where even our little laptop computers now have little cameras in them that can watch us, you know, and people say, oh, well, that couldn't be, you know, there's nothing to worry about. They can turn those things on anytime they want to and watch you. I mean, it's just like 1984, and people don't want to believe it, but it's really happening, and there are organized groups in America dedicated to this, and since they control the media, the average person has no idea that we're moving rapidly towards world government as being paid for with our tax money.
Well, certainly they have to... with stealth, import software into your computer to be able to turn on those cameras remotely.
One of the schools actually gave out the laptop computers, and they were actually spying on the kids at home.
And right, but you have to download software and have it, you know, be operating behind the scenes. And I'm just clarifying that people don't have to worry that every computer they buy has this built in. It does not. But there are programs that they can send, like worms and Trojans that go through the Internet. You know, if they want to target you, they can try to download and break through your firewall and download some of this software to spy on people. And there are, you know, this is a counter-spy game, too. There's lots of people working on countering that and keeping the government off of things, off of one's computer. So, you know, it's not a done deal. We know that what they're up to and what they're ultimately going for, but, this is, they don't have absolute control yet. They're still having to work at it.
Oh, I acknowledge, and that's why we have to keep on working.
Well, you know, of course, as Henry Lamb says, if global governance has the power to limit the behavior of individuals, organizations, companies, then that is, in fact, an exercise of sovereignty. And if that sovereignty has been voluntarily surrendered to an international institution, such as the World Trade Organization or an international treaty, you know, dancing around the semantics is simply a diversion, an attempt to appease and distract opponents. But the indisputable fact is that global governance has advanced dramatically in the past two decades and is moving forward even faster under the Obama administration. Any way you look at it, as global governance advances, national sovereignty recedes. And the report identifies three areas in which more effective global governance is badly needed: climate change and the environment. They're working towards a treaty and an international mechanism to control the power of energy. Number two, the Convention on the Law of the Sea to control the use of the sea and all of its resources. And number three, global taxation. They're still pushing for all international trade and international transfers of currency and money flows to be taxed. Inherent in this dream is the authority to rake off a percentage of the money flow as a global tax that would provide independent funding for the United Nations operations. And boy, that's just what we need them to have. Trillions of dollars, you know, then you really have no control over them.
We'll be back in just a moment here at the American Freedom Network.
Just a good old boy.
Hi, I'm Eric Cederstrom. For over a decade, I've been the CEO, shipping clerk, and janitor of the Patriot Trading Group. And in that time, I've made friends with tens of thousands of like-minded individuals all over this country, most like me, trying to raise a family, run a business, and make sense out of a world gone mad. I'm proud of the fact that through stock bubbles, housing bubbles, and financial chaos, our customers are prospering and doing very well. By keeping our prices fair and our service fast, we find that 80% of our customers not only reorder, but they tell their friends. Don't be fooled by hype and high pressure. Do business with a company you can trust. Call the Patriot Trading Group at 1-800-951-0592 or check out our website at allamericangold.com. You'll be treated with honesty and respect. You have my word on it. I'm Eric Cederstrom, CEO, shipping clerk, and janitor.
Making your way, the only way they know how.
Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Tom Phillips, founder of The Green Herb.
The people who are controlling the government of America are the same people who are trying to control your family's health care. You can sit quietly by and accept their plan, or you can take responsibility for your health. What would happen if you could no longer obtain the medications you're now taking? Would you be forced to join the ranks of corrupt agents just to purchase the medicine? If you're one of the thousands of concerned citizens who would like to know more about a natural way, God's way to help, drop by the Green Herb for a natural solution and all the information you need to make an intelligent decision. Or go to our website, www.thegreenherb.com. Come by the Green Herb, located in Wheat Ridge, Colorado, on the I-70 Frontage Road North, 1 mile west of Kipling. Or call 888-765-HERB. That's 888-765-4372. And be sure to listen to the Green Herb Show with Linda and Dr. Katz every Tuesday at 1 o'clock on KHNC.
Well, good morning, Dr. Stan. And our guest this morning, of course, is Joel Skousen. And we're talking about global governance and this whole idea of the move towards global governance. Well, it's really all about global government. There really are people who are working towards this goal. It is a subversive element because it destroys the sovereignty of our nation. It destroys the protections of our Constitution and will soon give us the same freedoms that they have in both in communist China. Everything will be controlled by a world government, and it'll be able to control the individual as well, and the protections we have from our Constitution will be gone. Now, they can't let the American people know that's the goal of the Council on Foreign Relations, the Trilateral Commission, and the Bilderbergers, and the Royal Institute for International Affairs, and all of these groups which interlock, and they have many other organizations all working for the common goal, a one-world government, which has been the plan of the mystery religions and the secret societies going all the way back to the time of Nimrod. But right now, of course, it's coming to fruition. They're consolidating power, and the average individual doesn't know, because Rush Limbaugh and Sean Hannity and Bill O'Reilly, the finest conservatives money could buy. Go right ahead, Joel.
Well, in another story related to this, French President Sarkozy is seeking some form of financial and political salvation for his own proposal for a new world financial order. Sarkozy will use his G20 leadership role to push forward a new diplomatic and monetary world order that embraces Russia and China. He proposes a powerful European alliance which could threaten to destabilize U.S. dominance. At the same time, the ambitious French president wants to craft a new global economic framework that would give China greater influence. The London Times says he plans to use the French presidency of the G20 group of world nations, which starts on November 14th, to promote his redrawing of the world diplomatic and monetary stage. From the French point of view, the time is ripe to forge a new global architecture because the end of the post-war monetary system has left a void and the world needs shock absorbers on the financial and commodities markets. China and Russia are critical of his new post-war vision. His plans come as the French president finds himself unloved at home and belittled abroad. He's clearly hoping to relaunch himself as an international troubleshooter before his expected campaign for re-elections in 2012. Now, this isn't, in my opinion, only about salvaging his image. No one does something this big without collusion with the powers that be in England, Europe, and America. He will put forward his radical new proposals for Moscow when he chairs a summit with Russian President Medvedev and German Chancellor Angela Merkel in Deauville, France, October 18th. He wants Russia and 27 nations of the European Union to form close bonds on issues as diverse as national security, diplomatic relations, economic policy, human rights, and immigration. A senior French official of the Sarkozy government says, "We must do everything for Russian rapprochement with Europe. France believes Russia no longer represents any military threat, but this is not understood by former satellite states." Well, that's kind of an understatement. Sounds like Sarkozy is aiming to play the role of Neville Chamberlain just prior to World War III. That's what I think he's up to. Sarkozy's statement, about Russia is no enemy, was meant to justify his selling to Russia four Mistral naval command ships. This is proof of Lenin's statement that the West will sell us the rope to which to hang them. Senior officials said he could press the G20 to consider new global reserve currency to replace the dollar. The dollar no longer is alone in the world. When the world has become politically multipolar, one of his spokesmen said it cannot continue to be economically unipolar. Actually, the dollar does stand alone in the world in terms of outright quantity outstanding, which cannot simply be dismissed by this kind of grandstanding, and it cannot be replaced by equally fiat currencies that are inflating almost as much as the dollar, a little bit less, and that's why the dollar is in a slow slide, not a precipitous one. Well, what can we make of this odd behavior? First, I don't believe for a minute that Sarkozy is going against his globalist handlers. He's been a lackey for the Anglo-American New World Order since the very beginning. I suspect, frankly, that he's being put up to this in order to capture the image of a peacemaker leading Europe into a series of unwise integration compromises with the Russian bear. The powers that be always need a useful idiot like Neville Chamberlain to talk the world into the folly of peace in our time. Second, his plan about joining forces with China and Russia to form a world currency is nonsense and completely unworkable. The ruble is worthless, even as a portion of a basket of currencies, and the Chinese yuan is also being inflated gratuitously. Even though the dollar is falling slowly, the rest of the world is loving it because they get to print millions in euros or pounds or pesos without it having to show up on world currency markets. What I mean by that is that everything is compared to another currency. So as long as everybody's inflating at the same rate, the currencies remain relatively equal, and it becomes the inflation becomes relatively hidden. It only shows up when one currency inflates a lot more than another, as Argentina did in certain years when they had 1,000% inflation. And then it looks like inflation, but in fact, everybody's inflating. It's just that one inflates a little bit more than another, and so their currency slips relative to the others. And that's, frankly, a better system than what he's proposing, is a fixed peg. Fixed pegs to certain currency values only distort the free market because, as that happened with the euro, where they had a fixed peg, meaning that actually it wasn't compared to other currencies, but within the European Union, no country was allowed to inflate the numbers of euros that were printed on the EU's behalf within their country to the, in excess of 3.5%. Some of them fudged on that and were printing more. And others were actually creating currency by credits by going into further into debt, like Greece, Portugal, and Spain. And that's what led to the major crisis. So these kinds of pegs don't work. There's just no way to solve this problem with fiat currency. The only way is to hold nations accountable with a commodity-based currency, a redeemable commodity-based, meaning that every paper dollar, every paper euro or pound is redeemable in a certain quantity of gold and silver. And that alone will keep the governments from inflating as long as they don't, as long as the gold supply is audited. And that's the problem now, is that even gold has been changed into a Ponzi scheme. The London gold market, which is the largest in the world, has almost no gold in stock, but they have billions and billions of dollars of contracts in gold that marketed on the exchange, and there's no gold to if people decided to take physical possession of the gold. And that means it's just like the old gold bankers that used to be issuing gold certificates when there wasn't enough gold in the bank to cover it. And we're reaching the same thing. And when that blows up in somebody's face, if the powers that be ever let it happen, gold price will skyrocket. And already there's a premium for taking delivery of physical gold versus paper gold contracts.
I share your concern, and I think that you know, the whole world monetary system is on the edge of collapse. I don't see how it can go and continue, because of course there's nothing behind any of the currencies, and if you don't have some stabilizing force, then politicians will always print money. It's easier to do that than, of course, to let the economy drift into deflation.
And it's easier to do that than it is to tax people. There's a resistance to taxes directly. And so this hidden form of taxation has been very convenient. And every other form of deficit spending, you know, doing things like the Fed is doing by issuing bonds and then buying up its own bonds because there isn't enough world demand to buy those bonds in order to keep the price up. All of this is just temporary measures to prolong this thing until what I believe is going to be a future world war. That's their ace in the hole, which there's probably only two of us in the, or three of us in the entire United States that understand this threat, and that it's, you know, almost all of your conservative and libertarian Austrian economics think it's either default or hyperinflation. There are no two other alternatives, and there is a third, and that is that they can pull off a world war and have the United States attacked, have its financial centers attacked, have the computers destroyed in a world war, and then they've got every excuse in the world to walk away from the debt and say, we got to start over. It's a form of default, but it's not the kind of default that they're talking about, where the government just simply says, we're not going to pay anything more on the debt. This gives them the excuse to walk away from debt and yet claim that it's not our fault. And that's the best of both worlds for the powers that be. So Russia and China keep giving indications of building more pretext for war. And this is very similar as well to what happened in World War II. There's something going on in Russia and China. They're both ganging up on Japan. I think you've seen that in the news, Dr. Stan. Both of them are having major territorial disputes over these islands, which have been in dispute since World War II. That's a long time to be in dispute. And why now suddenly that they're pushing Japan and making inroads to these islands and trying to foment unrest? In late September, the leaders of Russia and China met in Beijing. And meanwhile, China's confrontation with Japan over the seizure of a fishing boat was played out. There's no smoking gun that the two events are tied together, and yet there's a strong common thread, says Peter J. Brown, that runs through each event and leaves a distinct impression that these are not unrelated, that there's some unrelated agenda behind this saber-rattling going on with Japan. Thanks to a mutual declaration between Russia and China designed to set the historical record straight, at least in their own eyes, Russia's ownership of the Kuril Islands immediately north of the mainland Japan off Honshu is firmly reinforced, just as the Chinese are reinforcing their claims to the Diaoyao Islands, the Senkaku Islands, as the Japanese call them, which are located in the south of Japan. Despite years of discussion, Russia and Japan are no closer to resolving their dispute over Sakhalin Island as well. That's where the Korean flight holding Congressman Larry McDonald was shot down, landed on Sakhalin Island, and the Kuril Islands nearby. The joint statement signed by Russian President Medvedev and Chinese President Hu Jintao in Beijing strongly suggested that no such resolution is in sight. So I really think that these predator nations have a very slow process of building territorial disputes, and I think eventually we're going to see other disputes with the former Soviet states in the Balkans involving all the millions of Russians that they moved into those areas that are still there. And they'll sic agent provocateurs onto those Russians and create a pretext for moving into those nations to defend the Russian population. Those will be some of the major signs that the Third World War is in the offing. I don't think it's imminent. I think we've got 5 or 10 years. That isn't a lot of time to relax, especially when people need to prepare for this type of thing well in advance. And there was another story which covering in today's World Affairs Brief. Another source confirms that the U.S. planned the Pearl Harbor attack. Apparently, the attack on Pearl Harbor wasn't actually a surprise after all. It was predicted a week in advance and was even headlined on two of the island's newspapers, one in Oahu and one in Hilo on the Big Island. Joseph Leib, a former New Deal bureaucrat, retired newspaper correspondent, wrote an article which appeared several years ago in Hustler magazine detailing what he knew about it and what other people in the Roosevelt administration knew about it. It was called Pearl Harbor, the story the rest of the media won't tell, in which he claimed that his friend, Secretary of State Hull, had confided it to him on 29 November 1941, about a week before the attack, that both FDR and J. Edgar Hoover knew that the Japanese were going to attack Pearl Harbor within a few days, and that the president, over Hull's strident objections, was going to let it happen as a way of getting the country into war. So that means, Dr. Stan, that there were several high-level people that were privy to this conspiracy to allow or to foment Japan and allow the Pearl Harbor strike to go on. Hull's dilemma, of course, was that he could not reveal his this openly to the press, since the White House would denounce him, or worse, so he turned the material over to Leib.
We'll be back in just a moment here at the American Freedom Network.
Clean Dirt Grains and Seeds would like to say that many area parents feel frightened or somewhat intimidated to talk openly with their children about drug abuse. Parents, remember that open communication with your children along with love and understanding can, in fact, be the most effective weapon in the war against drugs in our community. You are the most important person in your child's life. Teach them to say no to drugs. That important message proudly brought to you by Clean Dirt Grains and Seeds in Sterling. They are another local concerned and involved business working towards a better community for all. That's Clean Dirt Grains and Seeds. On the air because they care. Starline Christian School, located at 2418 19th Avenue in Greeley, Colorado, has been in operation since 1980 and is state licensed. There are openings for the following family-centered programs for your children, ages 2.5 to 12 years old. Morning preschool from 8:30 a.m. until 12:30, including lunch, or 8:30 to 11:30 with no lunch. Child care before and after school programs available. Conveniently located at 2418 19th Avenue, Starline School is close to Centennial Park Library, UNC, the hospital, Greeley Mall, and walking distance from Jackson Elementary School. Hours of operation 6:30 a.m. to 5:30 p.m. Monday through Friday. For a tour or more information, call 970-353-7541. That's 970-353-7541. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just power from the consent of the governed. This is the America News Network. And of his fullness we have all received, and grace for grace. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Christ. No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son who is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him. The Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 16.
For the finest in home security, you want Fine Line Security, a family-owned business. They install, service, and repair any CCTV system, including DVRs. Free estimates are available. Free security evaluations, including existing systems, emergency repairs, and loaner equipment. Call Scott at 303-550-8202. They also have lease options available for CCTV security. Always professional, neat, and excellent workmanship. Home automation wireless solution for doors and driveways also available. 303-550-8202. Fine Line Security.
Well, Dr. Stan here at the American Freedom Network. Our guest this morning, Joel Skousen. And Joel was simply talking about the fact that there was advanced knowledge of the attack on Pearl Harbor, and they left those men there to die. And they did, ladies and gentlemen. They left them there to die. We needed an excuse to get into the war. And I can attest to that, because when I went back to Yale University in 1980 in the Sterling Library, I found there Secretary of War Stimson's diary, and I copied the pages dealing with foreknowledge of the attack, and they're available through my ministry, those pages from the diary. And there Secretary of War Stimson wrote on the 25th of November, he went to the White House, and the Admiral Stark was there, who commanded the Navy, Marshall was there, and he was there. And the president, there were four men and the president, and President Roosevelt told them that the attack will probably come the following Monday, because the Japanese usually have a surprise attack. And, of course, the only question was, how are we going to get into the war and get the Japanese to fire the first shot? That's the exact quotation. So they knew the war was coming. They left the men there to die. Could that really happen? Would wicked and evil people allow almost 3,000 Americans to die at Pearl Harbor? Absolutely. And that same story has been played out over and over again. Well, before we go on, Joel, I want you to tell our listeners how they can get in touch with you and perhaps subscribe to the WorldNet Daily, because it's got great information in it.
Thank you, Dr. Stan. The World Affairs Brief is my...
World Affairs Brief, I apologize. Go ahead.
Oh, that's all right. It's my weekly news analysis service, and it's available for review at my website, www.worldaffairsbrief.com. And people can get a free sample issue by emailing me at editor@worldaffairsbrief.com. And also... on the website are a lot of free archival materials. My specialty is working through and analyzing cover-ups where the government has covered up for illegal acts and for everything from assassinations of presidents to Martin Luther King to Oklahoma City bombing to 9/11. And that story of government involvement becomes much more accessible the more time that we get and the more witnesses come forward. For example, in the 9/11, for example, the government sought to suppress the oral histories of all of the firefighters for many years, and they finally, through the courts, have been allowed to be released, and they're filled with dozens and dozens of testimony of firefighters hearing the demolitions going off in the building just as they were escaping, and before and after, in fact, the plane hit. The demolitions were going off in all three World Trade Center buildings that eventually collapsed. And when you read these testimonies, you suddenly realize, I mean, this isn't even controversial. I mean, it's just out there in the open. Everybody was hearing massive amounts of explosives going off, and not just, you know, it wasn't fuel. There weren't any smoke coming out from the... which would happen if these were, fuel being exploded. Big black clouds of smoke would be coming out, and there was nothing of that. This was high explosives going off, and many people had military experience and recognized that signature. So there's a lot of good material on the website relative to that, as well as a daily briefings or postings of the best of the major news stories. that my research staff puts out, and we just allow the public to peruse that or take advantage of that filtering that we do to give people the best of the conventional news every day.
Well, it's an excellent site, and I go there every morning, and I'll be going there in just a few minutes. But you go right ahead.
Well, we were talking about the foreknowledge about, not only foreknowledge, as was pointed out in the plan of attack on Pearl Harbor, but that according to Robert Stinnett's book, Pearl Harbor, Day of Deceit, there was a six-point plan to induce Japan to attack. They knew it was going to happen. They were tracking. They had broken the codes. They were tracking the Japanese fleet across the Pacific, so they knew within a day of when they were going to attack. Thought it was going to be Monday. It turned out to be Sunday. But this is what's interesting is that even a lead story did get to the press. They wouldn't run it in the United States, but they ran it in the Foreign Service, which got to Hawaii, and Hawaii published. And there are pictures on the net at dotal.org, dotal.org, of the Honolulu newspapers, where it says Japanese may attack, may strike over the weekend. And it was a full story about how intercepts had indicated that Japanese are planning to attack Pearl Harbor. So even the Pearl Harbor people knew that the attack was coming. You know, I think the military went out of the way to dissuade the people that this attack was coming. One of the stories even tells about the military sending people to rip the front page off of these newspapers all around military bases so that people wouldn't see this. Now, that shows conspiracy to deny the truth. You know, that even military people, somebody had to have given the orders to military people to go rip those front pages off the newspapers.
Well, and, sort of like what they're doing now. There's a book published, I think it was Operation Dark Heart, something like that, about written by an intelligence officer about Afghanistan. The military has bought up all the copies and is destroying them because they don't want the American people to know the truth about what's really going on.
Well, of course, they claim that it's because it's got classified information in the book and that it was unauthorized, but it actually went through screenings for classified information and still ended up with damaging material. But it shows that the United States has this very evil ability to declare anything they want kept from the American people as a national security issue, and they refuse to allow the courts to rule on those. If it's labeled or stamped national security or state secrets, the government's arguments are that the courts are not allowed to even judge on whether or not their choice of classification is proper or not. And that's not constitutional. We do have checks and balances on everything in the government, and there's no way that the executive is allowed to rule unilaterally on secrecy without allowing the courts or even Congress to have a say in that matter.
Well, I fear very soon we're going to find really one of the most terrible things they've done, and that is actively helping Pakistan to get the nuclear bomb. We're so concerned about Iran getting the nuclear bomb, but certainly the Sybil Edmonds story shows that the State Department knew that they were about a spy ring sending all the information to Pakistan so they could build their bomb, a third-rate nation able to build a bomb with the full help and support of people at the highest levels of our government. Sybil Edmonds wanted to tell the story. It's known throughout the entire world, published in the London Times, and yet totally blacked out here in America. Almost nobody understands the significance of this story. That's the Sybil Edmonds story, my January 2008 newsletter. People should read it, understand, and I fear that there's going to be a war over there in the Middle East, and there's going to be nuclear weapons, and one day we will certainly pay the price for suppressing the information, not letting the American people know about the treason at the highest levels of our government.
Well, in another story, the first case challenging Obamacare has gone before a federal judge, and he has refused to issue an injunction. This was in the Detroit area. We have a lot of corrupt and government judges. Federal District Judge George Karam Stay ruled that...
Well, hold on. We'll be back in just a moment here with Joel Scouse here at the American Center.
catastrophe struck, would your family be prepared? Are you confident you wouldn't react in a panic? Is there one place to get all of your emergency supplies? Ferris Survival encourages you to have confidence through preparation, not panic through crisis. Ferris Survival, located at 3366 South Broadway, is a professional, reputable, full-service business providing quality, realistic preparedness supplies at an affordable price. Go online, stop by, or call 303-781-0343. Ferris Survival. Back to school time means our young people will be meeting new friends. Some of those friends may try to influence your kids to try drugs or alcohol. Let's remind young people that following the crowd can lead to trouble. And parents, let's not assume it always happens to some other family. Have a family discussion today. That's from the Wild Bird Center, where Candace Stewart and her staff are always working to make our area a safer place for our youth. For the highest quality products and friendly service committed to education and conservation, call today. 303-758-7575. That's the Wild Bird Center at 1685 South Colorado Boulevard in Denver. And mention you heard this community announcement.
11 years ago, when my uncle started the Patriot Trading Group, gas was 75 cents a gallon. We were running an alleged budget surplus, and the total national debt was $5 trillion, and the government was forecasting the debt would be eliminated by 2010. And I thought my uncle was a wacko with tinfoil on his head. Well, I own tech stocks certain to become a millionaire before the millennium rolled over. Since then, the debt has doubled, jobs are heading overseas, and 100,000 people have joined Eric with tinfoil on their heads. I'm Joe Jaquin, Vice President for the Patriot Trading Group, and as gold and silver have doubled and even tripled during the first 11 years, the issues facing this country over the next 11 years look far worse. Call the Patriot Trading Group at 800-951-0592. We offer all forms of gold, silver, platinum, and palladium, shipped and delivered at the most competitive prices in the country. Call us, 800-951-0592, or check out our website at allamericangold.com. And remember, you don't need to have tinfoil to own gold and silver.
Well, Dr. Stan, our last segment. Go right ahead, Joel.
Well, we're talking about the first ruling in the court cases challenging Obamacare, and, you know, true to form, it comes up negative. There was a judicial... conservative judicial for legal firm in the Michigan area. Let's see if I can get the name of that, that brought suit on behalf of four Michigan residents, the Thomas Moore Law Center. And the judge ruled that they did have standing. You know, normally they try to dismiss these things as if they don't have, no individual has standing. They brought, as I say, suit against the government for four Michigan residents on the ground that the Commerce Clause does not give the federal government any power to compel citizens to purchase health insurance. Judge Stay rejected, however, the plaintiff's request to place an injunction on the current enforcement, which was signed into law by President Obama in March. According to the Ann Arbor, Michigan-based Law Center, Stay's ruling means that the Supreme Court eventually will have the opportunity to decide. In other words, the judge essentially just refused to rule on their behalf and kicked it up for appeal. The law will, of course, impose many new taxes and just play havoc with our health care system. So the first court has gone down negative, and it will go up then to the appeals court in that area and then to the Supreme Court. I just hope that they've got a good case, you know, put together. Thomas Moore Law Center probably is pretty good in that regard, but we'll have to see and watch this. Other news that was breaking this morning is that General James Jones, a national security advisor, and is decided to resign. I'm not sure exactly what the reason is. His deputy, Mr. Donilov, is going to take over. Remember, James Jones is the one who in the Munich Security Conference earlier this year said that we take our daily marching orders from Henry Kissinger and Brent, filtered down through Brent Scowcroft and Sandy Berger, which was in an open admission that non-elected officials were running the Obama administration from the National Security Advisor position and giving marching orders.
Well, of course, he's a member of the Trilateral Commission, as is Damalan, who's going to take over his deputy. He's a member of the Trilateral Commission. So, I mean, I don't think it's going to make much difference whether you have General James Jones from the Trilateral Commission, or Thomas Donilon from the Trilateral Commission, why Henry Kissinger will continue running things.
That's correct. What is interesting, though, to consider is why someone like James Jones quits in midstream. And I think, frankly, that the Obama administration is falling apart, the infighting that's going on in there. I think it's a mess inside. I think the powers that be have decided Obama administration is going down, going to be a one-term presidency. And people like James Jones have said, I'm not going to, you know, sully my reputation anymore by being a part of it, so I'm getting out early before the real damage is done. That's what I think is happening.
I think you're absolutely right.
And, of course, Rahm Emanuel, one of the worst infighters from the halls of Congress who, you know, really part of a dirty trick squad, a person who was the chief enforcer in the White House about twisting arms with other Democratic congressmen to get them to go along with the Obama agenda. He, of course, has resigned and is claiming to run, you know, for the office of mayor of Chicago. But it's been pointed out in legal news that a person has to actually reside in Chicago for a year before they can run for mayor. He hasn't been there for many years in Chicago, so technically he's ineligible. I think we're going to see another cover-up involved here if he's allowed to run. They're simply going to wipe away the law and say that he's eligible to run. But he is clearly ineligible by some very obvious standards in law.
But these people don't believe in the law. They're above the law.
Absolutely. Another story we're covering, top story in the World Affairs Brief, is what's behind the temporary home foreclosure moratorium. It's been sweeping the nation. Major banks have been pulling all home foreclosures off and putting them on hold. Of course, in only states where the foreclosures have to go before a judge, and that's because a large number of these foreclosure actions are being denied by the courts when banks cannot provide a clear chain of ownership proving that they actually hold title to the mortgages. Most mortgages during the boom years were quickly packaged and sold to investors as securitized debt instruments, and the major investment banks who brokered these mortgage-backed securities took legal shortcuts to avoid having to issue new titles for every transfer, as these things were sold and packaged as bonds, mortgage bonds. As a substitute, the banks have been using signing affidavits, simply attesting to the fact that ownership is transferred without following proper notary procedures. Normally, this was merely a signature of some low-level employee, legal services firm acting as the agent for the lender or the loan servicer. And these questionable paper trails employed by the largest dealers, GMAC Mortgage, J.P. Morgan Chase, Countrywide, Bank America, were so prevalent that lenders and loan servicers are rushing to halt the proceedings lest they you know, get caught in court without being able to prove a proper you know, chain of ownership. So it appears now that they tried recently, as in 2009, to develop a fix instead of having to pay millions of dollars to repair all of these legal processes. They wrote up a bill to change the notary procedures called the Interstate Recognition of Notarizations Act of 2009, which would essentially require that all states accept as notarized any signature, no matter how flawed, of a notary of another state. And they'd got the notary service groups to go along with this, but I think there was some arm twisting there. I mean, it was a clear violation of the whole principle of notarizing things, where you have to have the person physically present, show identification, and sign on the dotted line in a transfer. And that's a time-consuming process, which the bankers don't want to have when they want to be able to package all these mortgages together. So it appeared that this was a major effort to kind of make this problem go away so that the bankers, in fact, could disallow any challenges to these paper trails through this Interstate Recognition of Notarizations Act.
We're out of time, Joel, and at least people would be able to stay in their homes for a while. Thanks very much. We'll talk to you next week.
Bye-bye. My pleasure, Dr. Stan.
Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Tom Phillips, founder of the Green Herb.
All of God's people have a ministry, and it's a trick of our enemy to keep God's people sick and worn out to hinder their ability to minister. We are often judgmental toward people who are addicted to booze, cigarettes, and drugs, but we at the Green Herb have found that most of God's people are unknowingly addicted to the two most addictive products in America, sugar and soda pop. If you have a sickness or disease, or if you're just tired a lot, the Green Herb has an herbal product that is formulated just for you, and it's just $15.95. Come by the Green Herb, located in Wheat Ridge, Colorado, on the I-70 Frontage Road North, 1 mile west of Kipling, or call 888-765-HERB, that's 888-765-4372, or go to our website, www.thegreenherb.com, and be sure to listen to the Green Herb Show with Linda and Dr. Cass every Tuesday at 1 o'clock on KHNC.
We, the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, to ordain and establish this Constitution.
There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of the light. That was the true light which gives light to every man coming into the world. The Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 6 through 9.
Well, Dr. Stan here at the American Freedom Network, and our guest this morning was Joel Skousen. I hope you enjoyed the conversation. And certainly, there are all sorts of things going on that people don't know. If you're interested in Pearl Harbor, we have a four-tape set, and you'll actually hear my interviews with Robert Stinnett, who did a wonderful job in his book, Day of Deceit, showing that they knew the attack was coming. They did everything they could to actually leave the fleet there, intentionally to lure the Japanese into attack. They wanted those men to die. And if that sounds terrible, you really need to hear that four-tape set. Then, of course, we have the four-tape set on the USS Liberty, American ship attacked by the Israeli forces back in 1967. But it was really done at the behest of President Johnson and Robert Strange McNamara. They wanted the Israelis to attack because they wanted to sink the ship and kill those American boys. And then it was a justification to go to war with Egypt. The lead flyer, who commanded the initial squadron of Israeli planes, refused to attack when he realized it was an American ship, and they returned to base. He was immediately arrested, court-martialed. They sent out another squadron where the leader was willing to carry out orders. They were simply doing what they were told to do, and our leaders intended to kill all those American boys. You need actually to get that four-tape set we have. You have a video put out by the survivors. We have a DVD put out by the British Broadcasting Company. Information you will not hear in America. Could anybody be that crass and evil that they want to kill American boys? Yes, ladies and gentlemen, President Johnson and Robert Strange and McNamara were involved in a plot to kill those American boys. And, of course, the four-tape set is available on the USS Liberty, the video and the DVD. You need to get the information. You need to understand what we're up against. We have a four-CD set on deadly assassins, where I actually interview certain CIA assassins. One of them, Colonel Marvin, tells about how when he was in assassin school, and yes, they have schools for assassins, where the CIA talked about how they killed President Kennedy. You'll really want to hear this information. You have my permission. Anything I have produced, you can duplicate. Get the information out. Now, I need to remind you, we're having the all-day seminar on the 17th of October. It's very close at hand. We're having great speakers from across the country. If you can make it, we usually have a contingent from Colorado. Well, I would love to see you, but you're going to have your reservations in By Monday, we have to know for certain, because that's the cutoff date, because we're serving lunch. Our number, 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Give us a call. We'd love to have you here, and bring a friend if you can. We need to get people educated about what's going on. You'll have an opportunity to meet others, and going to get a great turnout, and we'll have all the material there that you need to get to read, to listen to watch, so you can be effective in this truly epic struggle for the survival of Western civilization and the souls of men. If you haven't read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, you need to get it. You need, of course, to get the DVD, Surveillance Society. They really are watching.